It's the holiday season. We get together with family. We spend time with friends. We do things out of the goodness of our heart. We connect with one another. We find a moment and we give. It's about giving, right? It's about looking in the mirror and saying, you know what? I took a lot this year. I think it's time I give back. But what about those people that give year-round? What about those people that we could claim to be the Santa Clauses of the world? These people that want to go out and give every day. Maybe this time of year is the year they get back. Maybe they become the gingerbread man of their world. Maybe they say, you know what? Fuck you, world. I'm going to do what I'm going to want. I want, and I'm going to take what I need. Because if I don't, I'm going to take this candy cane and shove it into your bloody elf face because this is my time.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Let it rain. Let it rain.
Son of a bitch, he did it. He did it.
I mean,
I don't know if I could do it, man.
Yeah, you could do it, man. You can do it. Just so for those of you that are wondering, Dan and I, we've been doing these monologues for, I don't know, 30 episodes, maybe 20 episodes. And Dan, a couple weeks ago, I did my monologue and it was in regards to braces. And how it had worked is normally we've been pre-writing these monologues. And I had said to Dan, I don't have a monologue today. And Dan, and I said, give me a topic, very much like my old improv days. And Dan said, braces. From there, you guys got a couple weeks ago, my braces monologue. Well, today, Dan said, let's switch it up. What'd you say, Dan?
I said, how about we do this like a freestyle cipher battle where someone's like just feeding you words that you need to use in a cohesive conversation monologue.
Right.
And that's what we did. And it was beautiful. You knocked it out of the park, my friend.
Thanks, man. I couldn't have done it without you because you're the one that told me to do it that way. So that's
well, that's true.
That's kind of where we're at. But thanks, man. I thought it worked well. I do think that there is a certain group of people that give year round. There's a group of people in this world whose hearts are so full and they're so ready to give. They need to take a little bit for themselves. They need to dip their hands in Santa's bag of goodies and find something for them. And in a lot of ways, maybe we should give to them. But really, how do we know, Dan?
I don't know, man. I think too much giving is unhealthy.
Well, I think too much giving is probably unhealthy. I think if you're giving too much, there's probably some degree of guilt that's happening in your life. Maybe you took too much at some point, or maybe you feel like you've been forced to give. I don't know. Have you ever met anybody that's like that?
Like just gives all the time?
Yeah, maybe they just give all the time. I don't want to say that maybe they're too nice, because that's probably not a fair assessment. But
I mean, Jenny's mother would give you the shirt off her back if you like looked her in the eye and asked her for it.
Yeah, that's very true. Susan has the heart of the band Diamond Rio, and she is willing to give anything to anybody. She is very, very sweet. Yes, I think that's right. Probably a fair statement.
And it makes it hard around the holidays because she's like, I don't know what she wants because she just gives everything.
Right, right. She's just going to give it away if you get her something.
Yeah. One day she's going to turn around and be like, I have these wonderful puzzles. Right. You should have them.
So, you know, we've got HBO Max, right? That I'm using from you. I have HBO Max because it's connected to you, right?
Fuck yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. So Dan and I share a subscription to HBO Max. And interestingly enough, I watched the Heaven's Gate documentary. Do you know what Heaven's Gate is, Dan?
No.
So in 1997, 39 people committed suicide together, thinking that they were going to be taken out of their bodies and put into their true forms, which were alien beings that were going to be taken up into a spaceship and taken out into the universe.
What a bunch of pathetic losers.
What a bunch of pathetic losers. Well, interestingly enough, the documentary series is a 4-part series, right? And you go through the process of how this cult began in 1975, 76, and they were together. There was a lot of them that would come and go, but they were collectively living together in San Diego, Rancho Santa Fe, mind you. It's like 40 minutes north of San Diego. And the Halley-Bopp comet came into play, and they said that's their vessel. That's what's going to take them off of the planet. And they all took the drug. They all took a bunch of drugs and wrapped plastic bags around their heads, and they all committed suicide. And they all wore the same clothes. I mean, it was pretty big news when it came out. So I'm saying this because it's interesting, because these people, it's crazy to think about people that give so much. And in a lot of ways, these people gave a lot to each other. And they believed in a thing together to the point where they said, you know what? We know we're going to die, but we're not going to die. We're actually just transferring our bodies to somebody else. And we're going to collectively do it as a group. So let's do it together. So they gave for each other the gift of death. What do you think to that, Dan?
Dude.
What say you? What say you, Dan Hill?
Here's the thing. I think these dummies needed to read a book and expose themselves to something else. This is the problem with extremists and extremism. The more you wrap yourself into one thing, into one idea.
Yeah.
And that like consumes you, then that's all you think about. And then you become radicalized. Too much of anything is unfucking healthy. If all these people were like, you know what? We think we're aliens. We're going to meet once a week. They might still be alive today. But no, they took it to the extreme. They met every day. They planned for this shit. It's just a lot. It's too much.
Yeah, but they chose to do it individually.
But the pressure of the people, there's pressure in numbers.
You're right. There's a peer pressure that's involved. But there were people that had left, came back, and still did it with them. Like as soon as 4 weeks prior to them killing themselves. And they interviewed people that were part of this group. One of the guys was like, I just didn't have the guts. And I left 2 months before they did it. And I actually feel like I'm missing out. They did it. And I didn't. And this was 20 years ago. And this man, to this very day, feels like he missed out. Because he still believes the teachings of this leader. So this group was run by this man and woman. Named their group name was T-I and Doe, and the names were based off of the female leader's love of the sound of music. And so,
oh my God,
that's what they were named. And she
Let me guess. The guy at the head of it was having sex with everybody.
No, actually, he castrated himself.
Excuse me?
Yes. So the group had thought of the idea, maybe we should castrate ourselves because there was no sex allowed in the group. So somebody came forward.
That's your first.
What's that?
That's the beginning of a horror movie.
Yeah, man.
When the guy cuts his dick off, that's when you say, okay, it's time for me to leave.
This might be a bit much.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to go because I'm gonna need to. That's what I'm saying. Like, I need to. If that's all you see, if all you're seeing is guys chopping their dicks off, That's your not normal. Like,
what do you mean that's all you're seeing? Do you think every day somebody's coming in and the castration isn't chopping your dick off, man. It's removing your testicles. It's removing the thing that's producing all this testosterone and these hormones that make you man and create desires.
Is that any better?
I don't know, man. I mean, it's better than chopping your penis off. How do you pee without a penis? You got a bag? You carry a bag around with you?
I just thought, you know, you have like just a gaping hole.
A gaping hole? Like a hose? Like the end of a hose? It's just a hole in your stomach? Your pelvic area, and it just shoots out fluids?
Like when you cut like a dog's tail off. It's just like...
I don't know what that looks like. Have you cut a dog's tail off, Dan?
I've seen dogs with their tails cut off.
No. I'm asking, have you cut a dog's tail off?
No.
Okay.
But I've seen a removed dog tail that's just like a little like movable nub.
Yeah. Okay.
This is really taking a turn.
Yeah, either way. So there was this group. They're called Heaven's Gate. Anyway, a couple of questions they didn't answer. These guys lived in a multi-million dollar mansion in Santa Fe Springs. I don't know where they got the money for this. I would have been interested to see where they got the money for this. But it was also interesting to see the types of people that lived there, because many of them had been following this group for 30 years. And one of the members happens to be Uhura from the original Star Trek. Her brother was one of the guys that killed himself.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Uhura, the first interracial kiss on television.
Oh, was that what that was?
Mm-hmm. Uhura and Captain Kirk.
Man. Badass right
and
there.
And then Daniel Hill was born.
And then Daniel Hill was born. Daniel Hill is the spawn of what is her name? Michelle Nichols? No. I don't remember. Anyway.
Uhura
and Kirk, you are the birth child of them.
Well, do you recommend it? Should I watch it?
Yeah, you should watch it because it's crazy. It's crazy to think that these people could get like kind of sucked into it. But the very last episode goes into how it really sympathizes with those people that fell into it. Because in a lot of ways, in many ways, these people were outcasts to some level.
Yeah.
And it's always people that are looking for something that fall into these types of groups. Like they're searching for some kind of belonging or some kind of meaning or some kind of purpose. And that ends up leading them to these moments, right? These situations of, you know, connection. And that's why they end up buying into it so much, is because before that they didn't feel like they had that kind of connection with people.
Yeah. It's the same with like flat earthers and neo-Nazi groups. You might not start out believing in it. You might just be using it because like you want to belong to something,
right,
anything.
Right. Absolutely.
And you just want a group of friends. And it's like, well, I can have this group of friends, but I have to say that the earth is flat. Okay. Sounds good.
Well, and interestingly enough, like you do sympathize with these people. You do kind of understand how you could buy into this. And interestingly enough, and you'll watch this in that documentary, it's that these people were driving around the country and talking to groups of people, trying to convince them to join their group. And they were recording these moments. And you're watching people being like, yeah, but it sounds like a bunch of garbage is what you guys are preaching. Like, it's very interesting to hear all of these naysayers come at them and tell them that their beliefs are wrong, yet they continue to move forward. You know what I mean?
Was it, this sounds so familiar. Was it you who was talking to me about how Mormons actually, the door-to-door exercise, is not actually about gaining new followers. It's more about that's why they send you in pairs, because the two of you experience rejection together over and over and over again, and it makes your bond stronger. And then you take that back to the Mormon group and you all share this same story of being rejected all day. And that makes you, your faith in each other grow. And you, then you, you just become a stronger unit. It's like, it's very culty.
I would say that, yes, there's elements of that, but they are knocking doors to convert people. That's the goal. I don't, there's, well, right. There's nothing that's not the goal. Now it's similar to those people.
I'm talking about like underlying.
Well, it's, like, I think it's a,
like,
I think
that's what you tell, that's what you tell them.
No,
but really what it's doing is,
no, I believe it is to convert people. I don't believe that it's now. That is a, I guess, a side effect of that, because in a lot of way, because that is creating that warlike experience, the bond that you have with a brother or somebody that you go to battle with, right, that you can relate to. And then when you go back and everybody else has done the same thing, there's that connection of, well, we all kind of fought that same war. And we know, right, what it was like to be in battle. And you have that deep connection with not only the person that you experience that with, but also the person that the other people that experience something very similar to you. And that, again, really connects it to, that does fortify that belief in the system that you're doing. Because if you put in a lot of work into something, it takes a lot for somebody to tell you that work is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot for somebody to tell you that there's no purpose behind your work.
Right.
And I think that falls underneath that same kind of idea, where when you work or you're in the mud with people and there's a collective bond that you're all in it together, it's hard to break that bond. That's why nationalism is such a powerful thing. That's, mm-hmm, why religion in general is such a powerful thing. And that's why, you know, hate cults as much as you want, but people can get stuck in them and trapped in them. But truth is they also helped people find bonds that they were missing in their lives. You know, Scientology is the same way. They look for people that are looking for those moments that are lost, that need guidance, that need connection. And a lot of that is purely just finding a group of people that you can say, you know, shoot the shit with and connect with. That's so,
yeah,
you know, what's that personal connection? It's so important. And we're seeing the effects of that right now. With COVID, the people are lacking that. You're going to see, yeah, I wouldn't doubt we see an increase in cults and things like that over the next 10 years.
Just new cults popping up.
Yeah, there's new cults. And because we're also playing in a world where people have different worldviews and the facts don't necessarily matter. And the skewing of reality is to the point where you can create your own reality. That really lends itself to people that are able to manipulate those that are looking to agree with you and your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the right types of minds that will create those groups. Whether that's a cult or a political party or whatever it is, being somebody that can take a step back and just see the picture for the big picture is going to benefit you, I think, over the next 10 years. But we'll see what happens. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, we'll see what happens.
We'll see. We were talking before the podcast started about how you're having trouble sleeping. And I suggested to you a little puff of the ganj. Just before bedtime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That ain't my thing.
Hey, and you're shooting me down.
I'm shooting you down because it's not like, I don't do that, man. I don't. And when I've done I've never smoked anything, first of all. I tried smoking weed once. It was terrible. Done. I've had edibles.
How old were you?
27, 28.
When you smoked it?
Yeah.
27, 28?
Yeah.
Well, don't smoke it.
I'm not, even if I don't, even when I eat it, like edibles are so powerful for me. It's just not worth it to me. It's not.
We got to shut that brain off at night so you can get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, man. I woke up. My dog was next to me. My wife was next to me. My son was sleeping in his bed and I was just done for the day. I got to get up. I probably should have went for a walk, but it was kind of chilly this morning.
I'm telling you, man, one little like puff of like a vape won't hurt your throat or anything. It'll taste real nice.
Get out of here. What are you doing? Get out of here.
And then you get a little sleepy and then you just have a nice little night.
Okay.
Have you tried sleepy time tea or anything?
I do a nice cup of sleepy time tea most nights. I did not last night though. But today, you know, we're recording and I had a cup of coffee about 30 minutes ago because I want to make sure I had the energy and the power to provide the message, brother.
You Joe'd up.
I had to Joe up.
Well, you better Joe up for tomorrow too, because we got the Wizards starting their season tomorrow with the new Russ West at the helm.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so ready for a new NBA.
Who
man.
Are they playing?
Philly.
Oh, are they?
The Philly.
It's going to be a
76ers.
That's going to be a tough battle, buddy.
With Dwight Howard, Ben Simmons, and whoever else they got.
Well,
they got some good.
What time's that game at?
I mean, it's got it probably at like
7 p.m. Eastern, so it's like 5 o'clock. No, it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
You can watch that game.
That's the problem with League Pass, man. All my games are going to be at like 4.
Yeah, unless they're on the West Coast.
Yeah. But I mean, it's crazy. It's a new season already.
Yeah, man. 8 weeks. 8 weeks.
When 8 weeks what?
It was 8 weeks since the playoffs.
It was 8 weeks since the finals?
Yeah, because the finals were at the end of October.
You think they're gonna get through COVID?
Yeah, I think so. If the NFL can do it, so can the NBA. I think they'll be fine. There's still like rules, and they'll have protocols, and there might be some games postponed or pushed back or changed. But for the most part, I think everybody's gonna be able to play their games.
Damn, whose job is scheduling that shit?
Yeah, I don't envy those people at all. That sounds
like
miserable.
It's got to be a nightmare, man.
Yeah, not good at all. Not good for 1 minute, but somebody's got to do it.
When did the Jazz start?
They play tomorrow night, too. They play Portland.
Oh.
They just wasted $200 million on Rudy Gobert. And,
He took it?
Yeah, he took. He didn't get the Supermax contract, but he didn't get, but he got more than the Max contract. Because the Max was okay. 185 or something like that.
Well, I mean, they got to pay Rudy.
No, he's a waste of money, dude.
Why?
He's pointless in the playoffs. He was a waste of space against Denver. Utah was up 3-1. 3-1. They were going to go to the Western Conference Finals. They were up 3-1. And Rudy.
And they can't.
Couldn't do shit.
What, do they just run him off the court? Like just speedball?
You go small ball against him. And if they got shooters, donezo.
They don't need to be going down
yeah,
low.
Yeah, Rudy's like, you know, he does a pretty good job guarding the perimeter. But, you know, you just deal with too many small, quicker players. It's tough, man. I don't, you know, they, I don't see them. I see them having challenges with a lot of teams, but they re-signed Derek Favors, who was playing for New Orleans last year, and he played for the Jazz for 7 years prior, but they missed his size against teams like LA, and they missed his size and his skill set against teams like LA and Denver. So they re-signed him.
Right. But that's why you, that's an argument why you need Rudy, because you have to face Anthony Davis four times a year.
I don't know if and he, in the he's playoffs. Not shutting Anthony Davis down, man. I'm sorry.
True. You see that meme I sent you?
Which one?
It was like, if LeBron is off and AD is on, you lose.
Uh-huh.
If AD is on and LeBron is off, you lose. If both of them are on, you definitely lose. And if they're both off,
yeah,
you got a 50-50 shot.
It's true. Well, it's funny. The Laker game right now, because the Lakers are playing right now, and the Lakers were down like 15, 20 points. And it's Lakers are down by a point right now. Third quarter.
And it's regular season?
It's regular season, baby. Opening night was today. So we had two games.
Oh, shit.
We had the Nets, Brooklyn, and Golden State, and then we have the Clippers and the Lakers.
I'm really excited to see Kevin Durant play again. I love his game, dude. Love his game. He is so smooth.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players to watch, dude. He is so, his three is just like ruthless, but he cuts like a fucking steak, like a fancy like Ginsu knife, you know?
I agree with that. I think Kevin Durant is like a good knife. That's a good way to describe him. He's just hard to guard. He's a weird shape and size. And it makes, you know, that's a good way to describe him. I agree with that.
He's a cold-blooded, just like killer.
He's dangerous. Oh, he's dangerous.
So smooth.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I love when he's just like, he did it to LeBron twice in the finals, where he's just like dribbling, crosses half court, takes like two more steps, like, whatever, and then just bink, three.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
He's good, man. A lot of good players. NBA is going to be good this year. Dan and I got the NBA League pass. If you guys have the NBA League pass, who are you rooting for? We want to know. We want to hear about it.
Wizards, baby.
Jazz, baby.
Cody, man, it's time.
It's time for this week's
True Crime.
Men shoot up strip club after getting kicked out for not wearing masks. Police say they could face life in prison.
Anybody die?
Nobody died.
Nobody died. Okay. Okay.
But what the fuck,
have we seen anybody die or injured from their fight or desire not to wear masks? Not have they died from the virus, but they've died from like somebody committing violence. Have we seen this?
For not wearing the mask?
Yeah, like they committed violence because somebody said, sorry, man, you need to wear a mask. You can't be here.
I think so.
Really?
I think that's happened, yeah.
Well, interestingly enough, to kind of add to this true crime, because of COVID, right? AP today reported that deaths in 2020 have topped 3 million, by far the most ever counted. They're saying it's the deadliest year in U.S. history, with deaths expected to top 3 million for the first time, due mainly to coronavirus pandemic. Final mortality data is not available yet. It will be in the coming months. But preliminary numbers have the United States on track to see more than 3.2 million deaths this year, or at least 400,000 more than in 2019. Now, U.S. deaths increase most years because of the fact that population growth and we're continuing to get bigger. So we obviously have more people dying. But 2020 saw numbers jump about 15% and could go higher once all the deaths from this month are counted. So we're seeing crazy numbers. That would mark the largest single year percentage leap since 1918, when tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers died in World War I and hundreds of thousands of Americans died in a flu pandemic. Deaths rose 46% that year compared to the year before. Oh my Damn. Gosh. That's insane.
That's nutty, dude. Man. Nutty.
Anyway, so.
So these guys.
What'd they do?
They were kicked out. They were kicked out for refusing to wear masks, and they came back and they just like, they had AK-47s and just like opened fire in the club.
So they weren't aiming at anything. They were just kind of, they were, it's like a group of cowboys that came in and decided to just shoot their guns up in the air.
They just sprayed it inside of the club. At least four people were injured, and one had to undergo surgery because of bullet wounds that hit their upper body.
So they could die. Maybe they're not dying right now, but they could.
Right.
I want to get shot in this club.
Acosta Soto, he's 20. He could face a maximum of 17 years under felony assault charges. And Nava Ayala, 34, and Ocampo, 22. They were both charged with attempted murder and assault.
Wow.
Both could face life sentences if convicted of all the charges.
Interesting.
Look, man, wearing a mask ain't hard. And if it means going to a strip club and wearing a mask, why don't you just do it so you can see some tail?
I don't like, you know, I think it's one of those things where just wait until you don't have to wear masks anymore. It's still going to be there, man.
Sometimes you got to see that tail.
Really?
You know?
Really? Is that how it goes? Is that how that works for you?
I mean, this guy's 22. He's like, I just need to see some tail.
How often were you frequenting strip joints when you were in your early 20s, Dan?
I mean, I think I probably went to like five between my 20s and 30s.
So you went to five specific places, or you went five times?
Like five specific places.
Oh, so you went a lot of times.
Is five a lot in 10 a decade?
No. I'm asking you, did you go to five specific places and you only went five times, or were you, yes. Or were there just five specific places that you frequented?
There was never a place where I could walk in and be like, I'll have the usual candy.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Okay.
I think I went five times to five different places.
Was there were there ever any bars that was the case for you, where you could walk in and be like, "Oh, Dan's here. Let's make sure he has his drink."
I'll take the usual.
Yeah. Did you have a usual place?
I mean, in college, like Frostburg wasn't big.
Sure.
That's always been a goal of mine, to have a spot where I could be like, I'll have the usual. How many times do you need to go somewhere to be like the usual?
You know, interestingly enough, I used to frequent a restaurant pretty regularly. And
yeah.
I was near a place I worked, and it got to the point where they knew what I wanted. But I would have to say that I had to go consistently a dozen times.
And then they would learn.
Then they knew who I was. They recognized my face. I was coming in for lunch pretty regularly. You know, sometimes I'd order a beer. We'd talk. I ended up getting a job there when I just needed something temporary. It was pretty great.
I used to be jealous of my dad. We'd go visit him in DC, and he had like an Italian restaurant right by his house. Like, the man never ate dinner at his house. He just always went to this place, and he had a usual.
Yeah,
and they would just like they would just bring him the food.
You were jealous of that?
Yeah, I was like, damn, I want that. Like, is it something you need to like talk to the person about, like the waiter or the bartender, and be like, so can I have a usual? And then you lay it out for him, like, this is my usual. And then they register, like, okay, cool, now we're on that basis.
Right.
Or is it just like natural? They just kind of know and start assuming.
Right. Well, obviously, these guys that went into this strip club, the usual for the strip club was to be shot up with a bunch of automatic weapons. So they walked in and they said, are you guys you just want the usual? And the bar and the strip club was like, yeah, we just want the usual.
Over a fucking mask.
Yeah.
And now you might go to prison forever.
Good.
Think about that.
Good.
You want to pay for that man for the rest of his life.
Hey man, I want to pay for people for doing stupid, reckless, dangerous crimes that hurt society. And those girls were just trying to make a buck because they're either trying to get through college or they got some young little kid they're trying to raise to get through college. They shouldn't have to worry about coming into their job and some crazy asshole who isn't following protocol decides, I'm going to bring automatic weapons in and shoot this place up because they won't let me not wear a mask. Come on. Come on, America. Come
on. Protect our strippers. Protect our strippers.
Protect the right to be a human, man. Protect it.
Yeah. That's the last thing I want to worry about. They already ruined movie theaters with the shootings.
Hey.
I don't want to have to worry about walking into a strip club and getting shot at.
Again, chances of that are pretty slim for you, Dan, because you've only been to 5 in your 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
So that's where we stand. And that's this week's
True Crime.
So what do you want? What do you want for Christmas, man?
Oh, this question, some people get really excited. They find it in themselves to say, I need or I want this. But truthfully, I got everything I could ever imagine. I'm the richest man on the planet. I know that sounds super corny and super cheeseball, but life, pretty good for me, even during COVID. And
shit's going all right.
I can't have any complaints. I just want to make sure that my family stays healthy and people make smart decisions. And, you know, we are 20 days. No, we are, what is it? 30 days away from having a new president. So things are pretty good in my world. What do you want, Dan?
Yeah, baby.
What do you want for Christmas, man?
Well, I mean, I wanted you. I knew that about you, and that's why I got you the gift that we got you.
So, Dan, okay, I get the question. I get the question. So, Dan and Jenny, so for some close family, so for my family, and then a couple friends, Dan and Handy J, I sent out Junior's Cheesecakes. For those Woo! Of you that don't know what a Junior's Cheesecake is, it is a New York cheesecake from New York City itself, from this chain called Junior's, and they have some of the richest, smokiest, hottest, bestest cheesecake a man can put in his mouth.
It was like, and it wasn't like one of these like cheesecake factory cheesecakes with all the stuff on it and accoutrement and like pizzazz. It was straight up cheesecake.
And that's how it was.
And that's it.
Yeah. And I just did that. I just ordered cheesecakes for my family, plain old American cheesecakes.
And it rocked our world over here at the Hill House.
That's awesome.
It rocked us.
I love that. I love that. So what did you do, Dan?
Then we were like, man, how do we top the cheesecake? What can we do? We had already blessed the Fredericks with the bon maman jelly in the past. We didn't want to have to repeat that. We didn't want to follow up with a food because the cheesecake was so good. There's no way to top it. So we were like, what if we just got like a random person to like wish Merry Christmas to the Frederick family? And we figured none other than the application called Cameo. So walk them through what happened, Cody.
So Madeline gets this message on her phone. She says, hey, you have a message from somebody at Cameo. And Madeline's like, hey, we have a message for each other. And I was a little confused. And I said, okay, who's it from? She's like, I don't know. She said, and I said, okay, well, let's press play and see who it is. And some gentleman comes on the screen, standing in his kitchen. He's not wearing a shirt. And he's saying very nice, kind things to us, wishing us a Merry Christmas. He sings us a song using our names. He makes it up. He talks to me and Madeline and Fitzgerald and McFly, and he says Merry Christmas. And it was very sweet, and it was a beautiful message. And so we really enjoyed it. We thought it was super sweet. And it was from Dan and Jenny Hill. So
I love the randomness of the actor.
Yeah, because honestly, I'd seen his face before, but I couldn't really put my finger on it. I wasn't exactly sure who he was. But Dan, who was he again?
Cedric Yarbrough.
Cedric Yarbrough, sweetest guy in the world. He was fantastic. Oh, yeah. He had a beautiful voice, and it was very warm. I do have to say, though, for whatever reason, before Madeline pressed play on that, I knew what Cameo was, and I know what Cameo is. I was uncomfortable.
You were?
I was uncertain as to what we were going to be pressing play on. And I wasn't comfortable knowing that there was this pseudo or real or whatever celebrity on the other end that was talking to us. It made me feel uncomfortable.
Wow.
And so Madeline doesn't know that. I didn't say anything to her, but I do have to say it took me back to my childhood when I was a little boy.
Of like, and why does this person know me?
No, when I was a little boy, my dad took us to this mini mall or whatever it is, where, you know, like it's one of those outdoor like little shops. But one of the shops, Karl Malone, the great power forward for the Utah Jazz, was signing autographs for kids.
Karl Malone
was, and he was signing photos of himself and he was handing them out to kids. And I couldn't go in. I was scared.
You couldn't? Really?
I was so nervous and uncomfortable. And I said, I'm not going in. My brother went, but I didn't. And it was that kind of same feeling as a child. It's also a reason, this is something that I'm finding that I have to get in touch with myself about. It's also a reason why I don't do well with authority figures or people that are super successful. I don't necessarily know if I work well with those people because in a strange way, they're better than me. And it's hard for me to overcome that. And that's where I see that as. They may not be better than me, but in my head, they're better than me.
Interesting.
But Dan and Jenny provided this beautiful Christmas gift. We were touched and we appreciated every moment of his singing and his message. So thank you, Dan.
Of course. Yeah, no problem. I think the Cameo is it, like you say, it's interesting, but it's also at its core, it is a fabrication of genuine conversation. You know what I mean?
It is a, you are reaching out or a celebrity or somebody you're a fan of or you want to connect with on a personal level is reaching out to you. You're paying the money. So they're reaching out to you. They're reaching out to somebody to send a message in their element or their world. And it can be slightly jarring.
It's video prostitution.
It is video prostitution. You're absolutely right. And the rates they're charging, crazy. For how long of a message? 60 seconds?
I don't think there's a time limit on it.
Oh, there
isn't.
They can, okay.
Yeah, I think they can do what, like, they can do how short or how little they, like, they desire. But, yeah, I mean, there's people on there that are like $1,000.
Yeah. There's some big time costs, but there's varying degrees of celebrity. And the interesting thing is you don't, if you charge $50, you're going to be inundated with requests. And what you have to do is you have to find that sweet spot where, you know, you can charge $50 where you only have to do one versus charge $50 where you have to do 10 in a day. So if you get one in a day at $500, great.
I think Cedric Yarbrough was a steal. He was the best bang for the buck.
Was he? What did, do you mind me asking? What did he charge you?
He was $50.
He was $50?
Yeah. Cedric. And he was new.
Okay.
So he was like new and noteworthy on Cameo.
Oh, that's
but
cool.
But like, I mean, I looked for people for the West Wing and we were like going down the cast line. And those people were like $300.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, man. Like,
like
was
I
Rob Lowe,
Cody,
on there? Was Rob Lowe on there?
Rob Lowe or like Martin Sheen, they weren't on there. But like,
Allison Janney's probably there.
Janney, no, she wasn't on there.
She
I
wasn't
for
on
her.
There. I did see that Dule Hill.
Yeah, he was like $300.
Yeah, he was pretty expensive. Yeah.
I like went on IMDb and went down the line of West Wing. Like, all right, who could I get? All right. He's like 18 on IMDb. Let's see what he costs. It was like $300. I love you, Fredericks, but 300.
Yeah. That's insane. And we ran into him. We walked right by him down in Studio City.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. He was going into this fresh French restaurant we just left. Like, there's this French restaurant off Woodman and Ventura. And we were just finishing up brunch there that we had with some friends. And he walks right inside, right by us. And we're like, oh, wow, that's Dule Hill. That's pretty crazy.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway.
But like Gilbert Godfrey, apparently he cleans up on Cameo. Like, he doesn't have to do anything else.
Well, I imagine if you set your price right and you do five of those in a day and you charge $500, it's $2,500, man, in a day.
Yeah. And for what? For riffing.
Yeah.
People tell you what to say.
I mean,
I was also looking at Andy Dick too for you, but I was worried
Thank
that he would do
not.
Something gross.
Thank you for not. How much was he charging? He's bottom of the barrel prices.
I think he was in the hundreds.
Was he? Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I think he was in the hundreds. Hmm. It's such a, there's like anyone who's cheap, you have no idea who they are. And anyone who you would be like, oh yeah, sure, I'll get him. They're in the hundreds.
Well, and for example, the cast, I noticed there's cast members from The Office. And I'm telling myself as I'm looking through this list, the only reason these guys are this high is because of they have some Netflix fame right now, and young kids are willing to spend stupid money on dumb things.
Dude, Stanley from The Office is like like $500 or something.
Yeah, exactly.
On Cameo,
it's like, buddy, that fake hair you got, we miss the old Stanley. Come back. Anyway.
Speaking of The Office,
yeah,
I want to tell everybody, I don't even work for Vudu. Mega deal on the Office series on Vudu. You can get the whole series for $30 and it's leaving Netflix. And it's and only seasons 1 and 2 are going to be on Peacock for free.
Ooh, good deals.
$30.
You can get the whole series in HD. Well, I don't have Vudu. I got Google Play. That's where everything goes. And I know everything runs through there. So I don't buy anything outside of it. Because it gets to the point where if you have 7 different apps that you're buying movies through, you're going to lose all of them. So you have to commit to one and stick with it.
But Vudu is great because it's linked to Movies Anywhere.
I don't know what that is, Dan. That's the problem. Oh. Is it going to be updated with things down the road? That's why I'm like very hesitant to say, oh yeah, I'll commit to that. Because I don't know what it is.
Let me blow your mind, Cody.
I'm ready to be blown.
There's an app called Movies Anywhere, right?
Yeah, okay.
And Movies Anywhere, you sign up for Movies Anywhere, and you can link your iTunes, your Amazon, your Vudu, your Ultraviolet, whatever the thing you bought the movie on, you link it all to Movies Anywhere, and then you can watch all your movies from all of those different spots on Movies Anywhere.
Well, that sounds like a win.
It's like Grand Central Station, you
sure.
know?
Yeah, absolutely.
For everything.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Well.
Oh, dude.
Maybe.
Oscar Nunez from The Office. Guess how much he is on Cameo?
I don't know. What, $200?
You're correct.
Oh, there we go.
This should be a new Dan and Cody segment.
Cameo price.
Guess their Cameo price.
Guess their price. Is Scott Kahn on there?
Scott Kahn?
Yeah, Hawaii 5-0. Oh,
from 5-0, Dano?
Yeah.
Is
he on there?
Dude, Toby. Toby from The Office. Guess how much Toby is?
$200? How much?
He's $495.
Whoa! See, this is what I'm saying. These guys are telling themselves, well, if I get one person to pay $500 for a day, it's better than me knowing that I can spend, that I can get 5 people or 10 people spending $50 on the day. You know?
Right.
It's the move, man.
Stanley's $300. Who's the red-haired girl who got rabies?
Oh, that Meredith.
Meredith is 180.
Yeah. Just imagine what Steve Carell could charge.
Oh, he fucking $1,000
man. $1,000. Easily $1,000.
What was the, his first love who was, she was like the district manager?
Who?
She was the hard ass.
Oh, Michael Scott and, oh my heck. Jan. It was Jan. Jan Levinson Gould. No Gould. We got a divorce.
Jan's $299.
Yeah. It's a smart move, man.
Who do you want to see? Scott Kahn?
Yeah, see if Scott Kahn's on there. I mean, if you're a celebrity and it's an easy 10 minutes to just do that, like it's 15 minutes out of your day. It's Kahn with 2 A's. C-A-A-N.
Scott Kahn.
Scotty Kahn. Well, while you're looking that up,
on.
Should totally hear about that. If you guys have used Cameo, we want to hear who you've paid for friends or family, or if you've received a Cameo, let us know. We want to hear about your Cameo experience. Was it good? Was it bad? Was it something, you know, you can, that you do again? And what value do you find in Cameo? I'd love to hear what your opinions and thoughts and feelings are on this. Dan?
I think it's a good, even with what you're saying, Cody, about how you were like sort of bashful when he started like talking to you, I think it's a good gift. Like, it's a step above like gag, but it's not something like physical that like you're going to be like, oh great, Dan and Jenny got me like a skillet, you know?
Yes, but a skillet is functional, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a skillet.
You're right. It's a skillet.
You know?
I know.
I don't have
saying.
A reason to get you a skillet.
No. I guess you're right.
But I do have a reason to get you Cedric Yarbrough singing Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, you do have that. That's a good reason. That's totally, totally worth it.
But, and I also think Cameo is a good group gift. Like,
yeah, get a bunch of people together to say, hey, we got X, Y, and Z to do X for you.
Right. Like, we know, like, the office knows that you love freaking Michael Kahn or Scott Kahn.
Scott Kahn.
So we all chipped in whatever the 300. We split it up between a bunch of people and got it for him. So that's right. How you could get like a good celebrity. You know?
Interesting. Well, Dan, thank you so much, man. It was a wonderful gift. You and Jenny, you went above and beyond. You won the gift award. Thank you, man.
Thank you for the cheesecake, Cody. That was beautiful and delicious.
Any news before, any thoughts or any feelings before the holiday season gets underway or the holiday day gets underway? Christmas, New Year's?
It's weird, you know? I know, like, I think a million people traveled yesterday. I read something about that. A million Americans traveled.
Hey, you know, until your mother or father or brother or sister are dying, they're going to keep traveling.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. But I don't want to be judgy. I don't want to be one of those people.
I don't
want
to be judgy.
Like,
you
got
to do what
you
have to do. And I'm not going to say that, you know, I've come a long way since our first real COVID conversations, right? And
yeah.
It's tough and it's hard for people and no work is challenging. And I do believe that there is some level of having to take the risk to work, to pay for family. And as much as I don't like Donald Trump, he's right about a couple things in that we do have to make sure that the cure isn't worse than the disease. And I do think like the fact that statement is right. I think that statement is right. The way he handled COVID was wrong.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
With that being said, it is one of those scenarios where he can say that, but he also could have said things that made it more palatable for people to wear masks and understand social distancing and, you know, limit entertainment and spending time with people when you don't need to. And I think that's the message that got lost. Yeah, you can stand there and say things along the lines of the cure can't be worse than, you know, or the whatever the statement is. That's great, but you also have to be able to speak about the important things to help reduce transmission. And I think that was poorly approached and poorly messaged.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at, right?
I just want everyone to have a happy, lovely, merry Christmas.
Yep.
Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Thank everybody for listening to the podcast and to please just be safe. Wear masks. And hopefully this vaccine comes out and regular people can get it. And we don't just have to watch Mitch McConnell fucking get it.
Marco Rubio, Mitch McConnell, all the Republicans lining up.
For real, Cody, that motherfucker should be last. He should be dead last to get it.
The way they have it structured, he shouldn't be dead last. He's like 70 plus. He's like almost 80 years old. So
you can't deny that COVID is serious for 8 or 9 months and then be one of the first people to get the vaccine. Fuck you.
Positions of power have their benefits, Dan Hill. That's all I'm saying.
I hate it. And then they're like, oh, I'm going to take mine on TV so everyone knows that it's safe. You shouldn't even get it. We should get it. Well, I'm the one still going to work.
So were they.
But they got tests. They got rapid tests every goddamn day.
Yeah, that might be the case. But
anyway. Great health care. Anywho.
Anyway, you guys have a wonderful holiday season. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. We hope to see you in the new year. Anything you want to say to people, Dan, before we say goodbye?
Give everyone hugs in your family.
Mm-hmm.
And spread joy, not disease.
Beautiful. Have a good new year, guys.
Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @DanCodyPodcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody played itself down to shit, all right.